Shalom Aleichem. For Parsha Shmini, will Amir to Hashem have six Divrei Torah? Parsha Shmini starts out first day of Nisan. This is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the eighth day of the Miluim, which means it's the eighth day of the building of the Mishkan. The first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Mishkan and takes it down each day, up, down, up, down. On the eighth day, he puts it up and leaves it up. And another significant difference on this day, Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, is that we have a major transition. Up until now, the first 7 days, we have Moshe Rabbeinu during the Avod in the Mishkan on the eighth day, which is this Rosh Chodesh. We have the transition with the Kohanim led by Aharon the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah in the Mishkan. We also have the unfortunate death of Nadav and Avihu, two of Aharon's sons, and also the end of the Parsha focuses on the laws of kashrus. It goes in detail what animals are kosher and what's not. Next, what fish is kosher, what's not. Next, what birds are kosher, what's not. And then it ends off with insects, discussion of what insects can be eaten and what cannot. And then we have discussions of tuma and tara, of animals, insects, etc. at the end of the Parsha. Dvar Torah number one is going to start out in Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav. It says as follows, in referring to the avoda that Aharon is going to do on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The first time Aharon is doing the avoda in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeha davar shetzi. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has required. This is what should be done. And accordingly, when the avod is being done by Aharon for the first time, Vayira Aleichem Kvod Hashem, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear upon you. The Ben Ish Chai says this concept is not limited to this avoda by Aharon, that you need to focus on the asiya, the doing of the mitzvahs. In fact, he says as follows. We have a mashal here, very important mashal that we learn from our pasuk, that there are Jews who say as follows, we believe, we are ma'aminim, we are good Jews. However, we're not so strict about doing the mitzvahs. We feel Jewish in our hearts, and that's the ikkar, that's the most important thing. We identify as Jews, we feel Jewish, but when it comes to the doing of the mitzvahs, we just don't do them. And says the Ben Ish Chai, that is a tremendous mistake, because we need not only the thoughts, the kavanas, the proper kavanas in doing mitzvahs, but critical is that those kavanas be accompanied by the maisa, but the actions. In fact, the actions is the key, and the actions should be accompanied by the thoughts. And he brings the following mashal, that you have a wife, she prepared a chicken, and she filled it. Great. Succulent. Filled it with rice, and it was going to be delicious. What a delicious meal. And she says as follows, my dear husband, stuffed chicken, amazing. The husband tastes it, and there were no spices. She did put a chicken, she stuffed the rice inside, but didn't spice it with anything, so it was incredibly bland, very difficult to eat. That's what the husband says. I think you're missing the spices here. And the wife responds, well, this is what she's thinking. If he loves spices so much, chicken, he had chicken, he had rice, it should have been great. No spices. Obviously, he likes spices much more. I'll give him spices. The next day, she prepares his chicken. And instead of putting rice with spices, she just fills the chicken full of spices. It's got pepper, and it's got garlic, and it's got all these spices inside of it, onion, etc. And he tastes it, and it is inedible. You can't eat it at all. It's just a chicken full of spices. She says to him, Madola tocha, why aren't you eating? I did what you wanted. You wanted spices, I gave you spices. And he says, my dear wife, when are the spices good? Kishu ma'ura ba'oras ubabas. And when you have the meat, you have the chicken, you have the rice, and then you add the spices, that's when it's delicious. But when you just have the spices, it's inedible. You can't even eat it. And the Ben Ish Chai says as follows, the same thing applies with those people who think all that matters is I feel Jewish, I identify as Jewish, that's all that matters. Kach gama kavana ve'alev. The same thing applies when it comes to our kavana, our hearts. That's so important. Yes, absolutely. Me'ulim hem kasher mitavlim et ha'maisa mitzvahs. The kavana is so important when they are the spices. And when those spices are added to the maisa mitzvah, we do the act. The act of the mitzvah is the chicken, is the rice. And we need to spice it with the proper kavana. However, when you just have the kavana and you don't have the rice, you don't have the actual item itself, you're missing on the actual maisa mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah. All it has is the thoughts. That's just like the chicken, that is just a spice. It's inedible, totally inedible. And that's how he reads our Pasuk Zeha Davar She Tziv Hashem Ta'asu. This is the thing, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says when it comes to the Avodah. You have to do it. Basiyah Davka, you have to do it. And only when you have the actions, then we will have the result of a Yirah Aleichem Kvod Hashem. The glory of a Kodesh Baruch Hu will descend upon us. But when we don't have the actions of the mitzvahs, that's just like the spices that are totally inedible. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2, we are in Perek Yud. Psukim Yud, Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Aaron that a kohen doing the Avodah can't drink alcoholic beverages. That would be ruining the Avodah, the temple service. And similarly, it's not only applicable in the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, but also teaching. Teaching requires, just like the Avodah, requires a clear mind. Somebody who is intoxicated, somebody who's been drinking, cannot do the Avodah also. Cannot teach clearly. And in fact, the Pasuk says as follows, Nahavdil, based on this background, we have to be able to distinguish between something that's holy and something that's profane. Ubein hatameh, ubein hatar, is between something that is impure and something that is pure. And the next Pasuk says, Lohoros es bnei Yisrael. Same thing applies when it comes to teaching Klal Yisrael. The Rav Katnas or brings the following, the Gemara, at the beginning of Maseches Psachim, Daf Gimel, that there were two Talmidim who were sitting in front of Hillel, and they had the following question, but they asked it in very different ways. One of them asked as follows, why is it that when we harvest olives, we can do it with impure utensils? When we're harvesting olives, limsuk zaysim bituma, why can we do it bituma? Bituma, why can we do it with impurity? And the second one, he asked the same question, but in a very different way. He said, when we are harvesting olives, why aren't we strict to do it bitahara, to do it in a very holy way? So the first one was saying, still same question, but the first one was saying, why do we do it bituma? Why do we do it impurity? And the second one was saying, why aren't we strict about doing it in a positive way, bitahara? And Hillel said about the one who said it in a more positive way, Muftachani bo shiyure horos b'Yisrael, I'm sure that this one will be a great teacher. That's the same language, horos b'Yisrael. He will be a great teacher in Klal Yisrael. And says the Kotnos Or that we learn from here that in order to be a great, great teacher, a great sage, to be one of the Gedolei HaTorah, it's not enough to have Torah knowledge, but what is necessary? How you speak. How you verbalize things, the nusach, the text that you choose, is very critical. Very critical. You have to say it in a very positive fashion, in a very pure fashion. And somebody could have the same knowledge as somebody else, A and B. Same knowledge, great scholars, but if you don't know how to speak properly in a holy way, that is not somebody who's going to be able to be a great gadol b'Torah that will influence Klal Yisrael. And that's the remez that we have in our pasuk, the havdil bein hatameh ubein hatar. We have to be able, and this distinguishes between something that is tameh and something that is tar, something that is impure and something that is pure. That was initially talking about somebody who's intoxicated and not intoxicated. That is the difference between purity and purity. Somebody who is intoxicated, has been drinking, cannot do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and the same thing applies. Distinguishing between something pure and impure, something that is tameh and tahor, something that is pure, this is what distinguishes ben mishamishtamish b'lashon tameh Torah. This is distinguishing who can distinguish an individual and can distinguish within his language, speaking in an impure way and speaking in a very pure way. Somebody who can distinguish between that and somebody who can speak with refined language, the horos es bnei Yisrael, the continuation, the next pasuk, that is somebody who will be able to teach Klal Yisrael, because somebody who speaks in a very pure, positive way, that is somebody who can influence all of Klal Yisrael. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, we're in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, same Pasuk, the Horos as Bnei Yisrael, somebody will be able to teach Klal Yisrael. It's interesting to note that we see similar language in two places here, Vayikra, is in Parsha Shemini, and also in Shmos, Perek Lamed. Hey, it's Perek Lamed, hey, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Ula Horos Nasem Belibo, to teach into your heart. So we have two psukim. Both of them talk about Ula Horos. One says, the one in Shmos Lamed Aleph, to teach your heart. And the second one says, our pasuk Ula Horos is B'nai Yisrael, to teach B'nai Yisrael. So we have to see what's going on here. So Rav Shlomo Dana says as follows, Chazal, he refers to a Gemara, and Tainis Daf Zayin, Chazal say as follows, it's a tiny stuff. Zayin Amud Aleph. Harmei lamadeti merabosai. I learned so much from my rabbanim. This is actually a famous gemara. I learned a lot from my rabbanim, from my teachers. But having said that, umechavra yose merabosai. I learned more from my friends, and even more so, umitalmidai yose mikulam. I learned the most from my students. So it goes as follows: I learned a good amount from my teachers, but more from my friends, and even more from my talmidim. Why is that? Why would somebody learn more? You'd think that you'd learn the most from your teachers and less from others. So it goes as follows. Somebody who learns from his teachers, you're listening. You're, for the most part, passive. And accordingly, you hear, you learn a lot, but you lack clarity because you're hearing it more passively. You're just listening. So you lack that clarity. However, when somebody is learning from his friends, that is somebody you have an interchange with. You're listening, but also you're speaking. And when you speak, you have to be sharper in your thought process. So that's why when somebody is interacting with a friend, you're going to learn it better. You're going to learn more from your friends, your chavrusa, than when your teachers. But who are you going to learn the most from? When you're teaching it to your students. Because when you have to verbalize something to teach to others, you have to say it with unbelievable clarity. You are going to know it better to yourself, and accordingly, you are instilling it within your heart. And now we can explain why it says, Ulahoros es b'nei Yisrael, in our pasuk, and Shmos Lamed Aleph, Ulahoros nasem belibo, that you're teaching to your heart, because when you're teaching others, that's our pasuk, Ulahoros b'nei Yisrael, but also, when you're teaching others, you really need to know it so much better. And that's why you're clarifying it in your heart. You teach it to others, you have to have the clarity, you have to work so much harder to be able to speak to others and explain things to others, and that only comes with clarity in the heart. The clarity in the heart has to come first in teaching to the others, and when you teach others, it also builds on the clarity of the heart. It's very important. You saw it. Everyone, based on this, should be giving Divrei Torah, certainly at the table, on Shabbos, Yontifs, etc. Try to teach it to our Torah. That means we have to know it so much better, and we increase our clarity when we are teaching others. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. This is Perek Yud, Pasuk Tzayin. Moshe Rabbeinu gives instructions to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, they're the remaining two sons of Aaron. And not thinking that they had followed those instructions, Moshe inquires. He really inquires. He digs in deep. He gets upset, in fact. The pasuk says as follows, Darash, Moshe, Vehine Soraf. Moshe dug in. Darash, that's why the double language here. He really, really inquired vigorously. Darash, he dug in. Moshe said, and he says, the korban there, it's been burnt. The Chida explains as follows, that there is a chazal, it's in Masechet Sofrim, that tells us very interestingly that these two words, darash, the first word is when we have a Sefer Torah, it's written at the end of a line, and the next word, darash, the first word is darosh, is at the end of the line, and the next word, darash, is written at the beginning of the next line. In fact, Chazal tell us that this is the middle of the Sefer Torah. What's the significance of this? That at the end of the line, at the beginning of the line? So the Chida explains as follows, that he found in an antique manuscript to explain as follows, that there is a remes, that there is so much depth to the Torah, it's unlimited, unlimited. And somebody who thinks that he already darosh, that I already know the Torah, I know everything, I know everything is clear to me, I'm done. I've learned everything that there is to know. You have to know. He's looking at the end of the line. I'm finished. That's the Sof Shura. I'm at the end of the line. I finished everything. You have to know that such a person, look at the next line. You're just beginning. You're saying, Darosh, I finished it. No. You're not done. The beginning of the next line tells us, Darash, you're just at the beginning of knowing the depth of the Torah. No one can accomplish it all. And in fact, that's why it says, Darash, Moshe Vinei Saraf. It was Saraf. It was burned. What does the Saraf stand for? It stands for Shishim Ribo panim laTorah, that there's 600,000 different facets, perspectives to the Torah. There is no one who can accomplish all of them. Major yisod, major message. No one can accomplish the entire Torah, but certainly we have to try, but we should never feel we are done with our Torah learning. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, and talking about the kashrus of animals. So it says, Etzchalos kol mafreses parsa, an animal with split hooves. And also, that's one requirement. The second requirement, you need both of them. Umalas geira, brings up its cud, chews its cud. That is going to be a kosher animal. Rabbi Yitzhak Arma'a says that with these two simanim, these two conditions, the two requirements to have a kosher animal, there is a big message for us, not only relating to what we can eat, but also somebody who is a tahor person. That it really indicates the proper mitos and actions of an individual. What's going on here? So he says as follows. This is in the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak, Shar Samach. He says that somebody who is mafreses parsa, somebody who has split hooves, that is someone who can walk. It's just indicative of how somebody walks or tramples. So that is sima number one. Somebody who has more delicate feet, he has split hooves, is going to walk more delicately as opposed to somebody who doesn't. That's going to be treif. If you don't have split hooves, that is going to be somebody who really traverses with strength, and that represents extortion and theft. Strength, being a bully, walking over, traversing, stampeding on something. So that is going to be the first simon. That is going to be represented by split hooves or not split hooves. The non-split hooves, that's going to represent theft and extortion. And the second simon, which is going to be our focus, an animal that brings up, that regurgitates, it brings up its cud, it eats, it chews and it swallows, and then it brings up once again and rechews what it has already eaten. And says the Akedas Yitzchak, that represents a remez to somebody who says, he stop kut, I have enough. I'm sameach with what I have. I'm happy with what I have. It suffices. It suffices the materialism that I was given. And this is somebody who doesn't pursue after additional food. An animal. Animal, I ate. I'm going to regurgitate it. I'm going to eat it enough. I'm going to keep on eating what I already have and have appreciation for what I already have and not run to look for additional food. That's mistapek. This is an animal that suffices, is happy with what it has. It suffices. I'm done for now until I get hungry again. It's not that I have to run immediately and find additional food. And this is the derech. This is the yesod, the midas, the istapkus. Somebody who says, I have a sufficient amount. It's not a matter of somebody who is being satiated. I feel full. I've eaten enough. But there's more that's required. It has to be somebody that chews their cud. What does that mean? What is going on here? So this is the mita. Again, let's just take a step back. The Akedat Yitzchak is saying that we have two simanim, two conditions for a kosher animal. Number one, it has to have split hooves. So unsplit hooves represents something, it's an animal that trounces on things. That represents extortion and theft. We are now focusing on the second of the simanim, chewing the cud. Chewing the cud represents not only that the animal is full, but more than that. And this is the beer that the Akedas Yitzchak says. This represents redifas adam achar mayav, when somebody is not sufficient, is not satisfied. They run after more and more and more. They don't feel sveya, they don't feel satisfied. This is what Chazal tell us. Somebody who has 100, nature is, they want 200. Somebody who has 200, they want 400. You have $100, I want $200. Somebody has $200, I want $400. You have $2 million, I want $4 million. More, more, more. It's not a point that the person doesn't have enough. He has enough, but the person is simply, he doesn't focus on what he has, but only on what he does not have. And that's a philosophy. And in certain ways, that's human nature, looking at what I don't have, even though the person suffices. I have enough, but I'm not looking at, I have enough, I can stop right now, but always looking at what I don't have and I want more. And the parallel would be to a child, the young teenager, young child, that is so desirous of a certain toy. I want it, screams for it, finally gets it, and then maybe plays it for it for a short amount of time, and then I want something else. However, aval ilu yodea hayal lalos gera, if we take the perspective of chewing the cud, What does that mean? Lachshav amashi hisig. This represented by an animal chewing the cud, focusing on what I already have. I already have something, and I'm working on it, and I've eaten it, and I'm gonna bring it back up, and I'm gonna chew it again, and I know I have something, and I don't have to look for other things because I already have something. We as people as well know how to chew our cud, thinking about what we already have, all the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we have. Thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for life and health and food and clothing and a place to live and a parnasa and a mishpacha, whatever it may be. That is somebody who is representing, who is emulating that second simon of that kosher animal. Malagir, it's not enough to feel I suffice, I have enough, but it requires more. It's a philosophy. It's a perspective that we say, I already have. I don't have to look elsewhere anymore. I have, and I'm going to appreciate what I have in my possession. And thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6, talking about, again, the kashrus of animals, focusing on the language in the Pasuk. It's Perek Yudala, Pasuk Dalet, Ach et ze lo sochlu, however this don't eat. It's very interesting to note, and this is focused on by the Kaf HaChaim in his Sefer Yismach Yisrael, that if we look at the language, Ach is a language of a limitation, a miyud, effectively excluding other things. On the other hand, the word S is to include things. It kind of goes in the opposite direction. And we have these two somewhat conflicting words back to back when it's saying what not to eat when it comes to the kashrus of an animal versus it says it's a limitation. However, it also says that it is including things. It's not a limitation. It's a reboy. It's adding things to what is going on here. So it's coming to teach us as follows, that somebody who is careful about what they eat, it is not that they are starving. It is not that they are limiting their hana from things. Because why? Because whenever there's something that we can't eat, there is always going to be a substitute that is going to taste similar that we can eat. In fact, Chazal tell us in the Gemara Chulin Kuftes as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asarti l'chadam. I said you can't eat blood. Blood is prohibited to eat. However, itarti kaved shukul adam. But it's permitted for us to eat the liver of an animal, and that's full of blood. Similarly, asarti l'chazir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can't eat pig. However, itarti l'chadam shibuta. But you can eat the dog. You can eat the fish called shibuta that tastes like a pig. So it is not the case when it comes to kashrus that we have so many limitations and it's no, no, no. That would just be ach ze lo sochlu. However, don't eat this, don't. But it's followed by ach es ze, which is the reboy it's adding, saying, yes, we have limitations, but also we have substitutes and we should not feel that the halachas of kashrus are limiting us, and we currently can apply that to all other areas in Yahadus, that we have restrictions, yes, but ultimately, they're not restrictions that add so much to our life to have these quote-unquote restrictions. That has to be our perspective, and that is the reality. Shabbos, we're restricted. It's a restriction. Don't do this, don't do that. But it adds so much to our lives. The additions to our lives are so much more. They eclipse the limitations that we may perceive. And that is such an important lesson that we learn from this pasuk. Ach es lo sochlu. Yes, we have restrictions when it comes to kashrus, but we have substitutes. We're not starving, we're enjoying very much. Jews are known to eat, so we are certainly not limited by the halachas of kashrus, and the same applies with all the quote-unquote restrictions of the Torah. Ultimately, it's a reboy. It adds so much to our lives, and the additions, the benefits, so outweigh any of the restrictions and limitations. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.